Good morning, church.
Good morning.
Good morning to those who are listening on the radio. Glad to have everyone back from Christmas vacation and holidays, and it's good to be back. And I wanted to talk to you today about church, the attendance. Not that you're guilty of anything, but I just wanted to discuss this with you about staying with the ship. And not being discouraged and leaving the church in any way. On November 19th, 1961, Michael Rockefeller disappeared. I remember that. I'm old enough to remember that. Some of you are. He was a younger son of the U.S. Vice President Nelson Rockefeller. Nelson Rockefeller was the Vice President of the United States, and his son is missing. He was a graduate of Harvard, and Michael went on an anthropological expedition to New Guinea in the South Pacific. And on November 17th, his team was traveling in the Pacific Ocean when their 40-foot dugout outrigger canoe was swamped and overturned. And they were just miles off the shore. You could see the shore, but it was a good ways off. The two guides that were with him told Michael and his partner, Dutch anthropologist, Rene Wessing, to wait on top of the boat. Just, they were up there to sit there on top of the boat, and they were going to swim for help. So the hours went by, and their overturned boat floated aimlessly, and the swimmers had long gone out of sight. And Michael told Rene, "We don't know if they make it back. They may never even find us out here." So he lost doubt that they would make it to shore. And with that, he jumped in the water and swam away. And he was never seen after that. The next day, Rene was picked up. So another that night, but the next morning then, Rene was picked up. The disappearance of Michael created an international media frenzy because his dad was, after all, Vice President of the United States, and Nelson Rockefeller was an extremely rich man. He was like even richer than Donald Trump was. His father flew to New Guinea to help organize a massive search, but they could not find his body. Some speculated that he was attacked by sharks. Others says that he was maybe eaten by cannibals there in New Guinea. But what seems sure is that if he would have stayed with the boat, he would have survived. Amen. That's one thing we know for fact. So the question today for us here concerning church is, have you ever been tempted to jump ship? And I don't mean hurling yourself out of a boat, swimming away, as Michael Rockefeller did. Rather, growing numbers of people are bailing out on the church today. Whether it's because another member in church hurt them, they became distracted by the temptations of the world, or they just simply got bored. Thousands slip overboard and many never return. Though the church has its imperfections, members who don't walk the talk, leaders, hopefully not here, who don't hold to the highest standards. There are all myriad of reasons that you can come up with in your mind to leave church, if that's what you're inclined to do. But life in the vast worldly ocean can be dangerous. I'm speaking outside the church walls. Too many become fed up with the church and slip over the edge. They find themselves swept away by the storms of life. So, if you're thinking about jumping ship today or have contemplated about jumping ship in the past, I want you to know there's a lot of good reasons to stay with the boat. Despite the many problems in the spiritual storms that threaten to capsize the vessel, I would encourage you to stay with God's church because it's much safer than swimming with the sharks out there in the world. Later in life, the Apostle Paul was arrested and imprisoned. Seeking a fair trial, he appealed directly to Caesar, because Paul was a Roman citizen. He could do that. As a result, he was loaded on a ship full of prisoners and guards and sent off to Rome. The entire chapter of Acts tells us the harrowing story of their encounter with a fierce storm at sea. So I would like to go back to Acts chapter 27 and start with verse 26. Tom had stopped on verse 25, and let's continue on reading till we get to verse 32. However, we must run aground on a certain island. This is Paul talking, telling the crew. But when the 14th night had come, as we were driven up and down the Adriatic Sea, about midnight the sailors sensed that they were drawing near some land. And they took soundings from it to be 20 fathoms. And when they had gone a little further, they took soundings again and found it to be 15 fathoms. Then, fearing lest we should run aground on the rocks, they dropped four anchors from the stern and prayed for day to come. As the sailors were seeking to escape from the ship, when they had let down the skiff into the sea, under the pretense of putting out anchors from the prow. So these guys were going to sneak off the ship in the little skiff. And Paul said to the centurion, the soldiers, unless these men stay in the ship, you cannot be saved. Cannot be saved. Then the soldiers cut away the ropes of the skiff and let it fall off. So they gave up their attempt to leave the ship in the little boat. Paul was pretty emphatic there. You cannot be saved. And I think Paul's words echo to us today. As we're nearing the shores of the Promised Land, especially during these stormy times before Christ returns, unless we stay with the ship, we cannot be saved. Is that too strong? We may not be saved. We probably won't be saved, because if we leave the ship, it's our attitude has changed. I'd say we might not be saved. Now, bear in mind, these men on this boat, they were sailing off to judgment. All these men, 276 people on board, and a big percentage of those were all prisoners, including Paul. And they were sailing back to Rome, where they were going to appear before the magistrates and the courts. Paul was going to appear before emperor in Rome himself. But they were all going sailing off for judgment. They were on this boat sailing off for judgment. Now, I don't know what the percentage of those men that appeared before the courts were convicted and what ones were let off free. But there's one thing for certain, that if they didn't stay with the ship and show up in court, they couldn't receive any mercy from the magistrates. You see what I'm saying? The only way they're going to get there and get off is to stay with the ship, complete the journey. Then they had an opportunity to receive mercy from the judge. Make sense? So the Lord wants us to stick together, and the church is our boat. The body of Christ is not a fragmented people, each going his or her own way. God's people are a unified body of believers who come together to encourage one another. Christians are not to be interested only in their affairs, but to show concerns for others. Now, talked about this morning in Sabbath school earlier, but it's sad to report that large numbers are leaving the church today. The Barna Research Group found that 6 out of 10 young people, age 15, have become disconnected from the church. They leave the church. Now, some do come back, but many more permanently walk away. And it is a challenge to keep young people involved in church. We talked about that this morning. And churches have tried all kinds of ways. But it's the world we live in right now. The Southern Baptist Church has a membership of more than 16 million people. And it found that only 38% of its members even attend church. And the Evangelical Lutheran Church conducted a similar study and discovered that just 28% of its members did the same thing, attended church. And the Gallup poll had researched even further that showed that many Christians lie about their church attendance. So these numbers might not even be as high as what they are. I don't know. People maybe are embarrassed that they don't attend church. I'm sure they have excuses. Let's turn to Hebrews, if you don't mind. Hebrews chapter 10. And let's read verses 24 and 25. Hebrews chapters 10, 24 and 25. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. What day approaching? We're seeing it. Yeah, we're seeing it. Even more so, it's more important today. Those who claim the name of Christ call themselves Christians. They should not live separate lives from other followers. I have, if you call yourself a Christian, you need to be in church. I've talked to people that, and I suppose you have too, that have claimed being Christians, but they worship in the church of nature. Go for walks in the woods and whatnot. Well, really, in reality, I think they've become their own church and their own director of affairs. I've always been a little skeptical about the church of nature. God has work for us to do, and it's done through His church. We come together to worship and to mutually encourage each other. You know, I always like to know what kind of a week that people have had. You know, have you had a good week, a bad week, what's going on in your life? Then we can pray for each other. We can certainly encourage each other, because let's face it, the world out there is a rough place. Now, we need to do this, as I brought out earlier, especially when the nearness of the second coming. There is a redemptive value in our gathering together. Redemptive means a redeeming value there is when we come together to worship. One reason Christians attend church is to learn to love. Now, the Apostle John wrote in 1 John 4:21, "This commandment we have from Him," that's Jesus, "that he who loves God must love his brothers also." Now, sometimes we can be a little unloving, but we learn to love. Some mistakenly believe that we go to church so that we can associate with good people. They wrongly see church as a resort for saints. They stay away because all those people there, they're on their way to heaven, and I've not been doing very good, and I'm not sure I would fit in. But the reality, church is more like a hospital for sinners. You say amen to that? I think so. This is where we need to come to get well. And as I said, people aren't always lovable, so we're not all a bunch of saints here that are just waiting on the ship to come in. The way we learn to love as Jesus loved is by loving the unlovely. You know, I've always said if you look for the bad in people, you'll always find it. 100% guaranteed. So we learn to look for the good in people, learn to look past the things that aren't so lovely, and learn to love them. After all, doesn't Jesus love them? Absolutely. Some have the thought that they would stay away from church to be more holy. Well, I think that's a cop-out, and I don't agree with that. To me, that very act shows how much they need the church. They may say that the church is full of hypocrites. Well, there might be some hypocrites in there, but that's not an excuse to stay away from church. You might be hanging over the edge of the boat. You may be discouraged, pondering the idea of taking off into the world, but the Holy Spirit is calling you to stay in the body of Christ. It is a delusion to think that an active, healthy Christian can be separated from other Christians. You may try to play that game and trick yourself, but it's not so. Unless you have medical issues or homebound or for some other reason, you should make every effort to worship with others, especially here on Sabbath morning. Now, I realize that many of us have been gone away on Christmas holidays, and Tammy and myself are going to leave in a couple of weeks, and we'll be gone probably about 4 Sabbaths. I'm not real excited about that, but I'm going to find a church somewhere along the line. But generally, we try to be here. So I'm not pointing any fingers at anybody. There's times when you can't be here. I'm just talking about a general rule of attendance. Make the effort if you can. I think you'll get a blessing out of it. I'd like to turn to Leviticus, and in chapter 23, I want to show you a verse. 23:3. Leviticus 23:3. 6 days shall work be done, but the seventh day is a Sabbath of solemn rest, a holy convocation. You shall do no work on it. It is the Sabbath of the Lord in all your dwellings. This Sabbath is called a holy convocation. Now, in case you don't know what a convocation is, it's an assembly of people. Usually it's a large assembly of people. The Sabbath is a holy convocation between fellow believers and God.